Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the one and only Brunch Network, where thousands tune in weekly to listen to our hosts roll out of bed and talk all things sports and gambling. Now for the guys that help cure all your hangovers.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Sports Brunch here on this Tuesday, May 15th, 8 o'clock p.m. on the East Coast. As always, my name is Joe Caputo. I'm joined by my co-host, Chris Malicki. But today is the first day in the history of the Sports Brunch, 181 episodes in, that we are speaking to you, and sports gambling is legal in the United States. Chris, how are you?
It's a beautiful thing. It's so liberating. It's like, you know, I don't know if any of our brunch listeners have ever gotten out of prison, but I would assume that that's probably a similar feeling as what we're all feeling now. Finally, our long national nightmare is over. Finally, we can gamble on sports legally. Now, there's a lot that goes with it. It's, you know, a little complicated in some aspects, not as complicated in other aspects. It affects us in some ways, and in other ways, it really doesn't. So we've got a lot to dive into here. And
I think it'll be a lot to dive into.
It'll be a great episode for anyone who, you know, gambles like us already before this ruling came through, as well as anyone who now is interested in gambling or may become interested, you know? You figure that I'm just thinking of, like, in certain I guess, social events or certain arenas or bars or stuff like that, you could have a lot more people gambling than you normally had, a lot more, you know, people who just don't really normally do that or know what to do. I would assume that the number of people who gamble in Vegas, at least percentage-wise, is insanely higher than anywhere else, and obviously that makes sense, but you could see, like, maybe some old ladies throwing down some bets, you know? So let's get right into it. Where do you want to go first?
That's the thing that's going to be the best is that – because I've actually had some people
– The old ladies? That's definitely going to be the best.
The old ladies, yeah. And I've had some people that I've told, you know, like, sports gambling's legal now, and they're like, well, wasn't it already legal? So I think this is a good brunch to kind of we're going to be able to give the details of what's going on with this decision, and then we'll also talk about how it's going to affect a lot of different parts of the sports world, the viewership world, what it's going to do to the people on the actual field or on the court or on the ice, whether it's going to have an impact there. We'll get to all that in just a second. But first, we did promise a special guest to start the show, so let's get to him now. We'd like to welcome on our Brunch Madness winner from the TV show Bracket. So let's bring in Matt Varakian. Matt, welcome to the Sports Brunch, and congratulations, man, on the victory.
Yeah. There it is.
What's up,
Matt? We're getting a little bit of the Office theme song in the back from Matt here. Thanks. That's a nice touch. That's our fight song.
the fight in Michael Scott's. Congrats, Matt, on the big win. You know, a lot of people doubted you, us included. We didn't think that The Office could pull it off and The Office could knock off Game of Thrones, but you were right there with them. And, you know, what was your thought process going through the bracket when you picked everything?
Well, first of all, I'd just like to say that it was big that we were able to overcome the loss of our star player, you know, really late in the game there. Losing Michael Scott in season 7 is tough to overcome.
Right, of course.
But my strategy, and admittedly, I don't know if this is the case for most people, but, you know, I haven't seen the majority of these shows. Like, I don't know how many people have seen, like, all of these shows or most of these shows. So I was kind of going with what I thought people would pick most of the time. So
that was
going to
be my question
at the beginning
of
this.
A lot of people picked based on – it was actually kind of mixed. Some people picked based on – what they thought was going to happen, and some people picked based on what they wanted to happen. And it turns out that I believe, because I think this was Mark's strategy as well. Mark was the other – or actually, Mark was in the Final Four. Pete was the one that you were going against in the final. I'm not sure what his strategy was. But it seems like the people that picked based on what they thought was going to happen did a little bit better here. So what made you think The Office was going to be able to take down Game of Thrones? Game of Thrones has a ridiculous amount of buzz going into this bracket.
Yeah, I feel like so you have the people who are, and I'm going to preface this by saying I'm one of those people who's never seen Game of Thrones. So you have the people who, like, love it a lot, which I guess is most people, but then you sort of have that pocket of, like, anti-Game of Thrones. Not that
right.
I hate it. I don't know. I just don't feel like watching it. And then I feel like The Office is, like, one of those shows you can't hate. And maybe that's a biased opinion, but I don't know. I just felt like it was a more widely appealing choice.
Yeah, again, it's
sense.
a little more neutral, you know, like you can kind of, and I think that may have kind of decided the battle between comedies and dramas, where comedies, you know, it's a lot harder for, you know, the general population to dislike a comedy. Because at the end of the day, all it's trying to do is make you laugh, and usually it can do that. Whereas you have the dramas that try to tell a story, try to go down certain roads that may not be for everybody. So I could see why you would think that. And props to you, because I don't think that many people, whether bracket pickers, ourselves, analysts, anyone else who is following the bracket, I don't think many people kind of thought that logic about the comedy versus drama. And more specifically, The Office versus The Game of Thrones.
So, Matt, I got one more question for you. Obviously, probably the most discussed matchup of the entire bracket was Seinfeld versus Friends in the Elite Eight of the 20th Century Comedy Region. And you had Friends winning that matchup, and that's ultimately one of the reasons why you won the bracket. Do you think
no,
Friends is the better?
I had Seinfeld.
Oh, you had Seinfeld. All right, so then there you go. You didn't need that matchup. do you think that Friends or Seinfeld is the better show? Because that's the question that people want to hear.
I like both shows, but if you're going to ask me to pick one, I'm picking Seinfeld. That's me.
Okay,
so,
all right.
There you go.
Fair enough.
You heard it here.
Chris, you got
it. I'm not choosing a side.
I'll just say that I told you about this. I was watching Friends the other day, and Seinfeld was on after it. And I'm not going to lie, I tuned in for a little Seinfeld afterwards. I saw the Kenny Rogers episode again. So, you
that's
know, nothing against
my
the
brother's
show.
Favorite episode, by the way, the Kenny Rogers.
That's my dad's
roasted.
Favorite episode.
Really? Look at that.
Yeah. It's actually my favorite episode, too, because I haven't seen the whole show. But it's a great episode. And, you know, obviously, when it comes to Friends and Seinfeld, I think Matt put it really well. It is a tough call there, both very popular shows, but in the end, it didn't actually matter because Matt was the winner of the Brunch Madness bracket. And Matt, we will get you that T-shirt. Don't you worry.
Oh, I'm coming to pick it up. So I'll be,
okay, he's not
I'll
waiting.
Be a, I'll be
he's
a,
coming
I'll
right
be
to
at
the brunch.
Pond.
Coming right to brunch headquarters.
All right, Matt. Thanks so much for coming on today, and good luck in the next bracket because now you got a target on your back. You're the man to beat in the next Brunch Madness.
Is there an idea?
We don't have an idea yet. Actually, Matt, before we let you go, we're going to take a fourth caller here because I think I know who the fourth caller may be. Who's calling in here?
Yeah, this is Vince. I just wanted to say Paul Malicki ever wants to get together and watch the Kenny Rogers chicken episode, just let me know. All right?
I think we can make that happen. I really do.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Have a good night.
All right, thanks.
Thanks,
Vince.
Incredible stuff.
Matt, you'll be one of the first to know when we decide on the new bracket. Do you have any suggestions before you go?
I feel like, honestly, props to you guys for, like, TV shows and candy with two really good choices. I feel like it's hard. Like, are you trying to make it not sports? Is that the idea, to make it, like, stuff other than sports to get other people involved?
Yeah.
Or not?
Well,
really?
I think the initial objective from Brunch Madness was to get the non-sports fans coming to the brunch site and coming to the brunch social media. So we're trying to keep it that way. We did see a suggestion, like, best sports uniforms or best logos. I mean, those are options, but we're trying to go more towards the non-sports for now, at least.
Yeah, I mean, you could do, like, movies, I guess. I don't know if that's hard to narrow down or if that's too similar to TV, but I don't know. I'll think on it a little bit.
Definitely an option. If you think of any more, tweet us at the Brunch Pod. I don't know if you have a Twitter, Matt, but you can always text me as well.
No,
and that
I
goes for
one,
everyone.
My friend Toby has one, actually.
Toby has one. Okay. All right. Well, maybe just get Toby to tweet it for you.
All right,
Matt. Thanks for coming on, dude, and congratulations.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, guys.
All right. So good to have a little Matt Vracky and a little Brunch Madness champ on the pod. I mean, movies is always an option. There's so many options for us, and there's a reason why it took us 2 months to do Brunch Madness 2 after Brunch Madness 1, because this is not just an off a whim kind of decision that we make here.
Yeah, and I think also, too, you know, as the competitors of Brunch Madness, you know, the people who make the bracket, it takes a lot out of you. So you got to give them some time to rest up, heal up their injuries, and we'll get to the next one sometime this summer, I'm sure.
All right, so let's start up with let's get back to our sports gambling talks, and this is going to be basically the discussion for the rest of the show here. So if you want to call in, ask any questions about what's going to be going on in the next few months, or just talk about what you think is going to happen in the sports gambling world, give us a call, 818-688-6658. It's going to be a very information-packed show, and we want to make sure we get to everyone's questions and cover what everyone is thinking for this sports gambling decision. So basically, Supreme Court decided yesterday, 7-2 vote, that sports gambling is going to be allowed in any state that decides to allow it. So now the onus is on all the states. Obviously, Nevada has already allowed it. And it's up to the states now to decide when and if they want to legalize sports gambling in their state. And luckily for us, a New Jersey-based podcast, it seems as if New Jersey is going to be the first state to take action. So, Chris, initial thoughts on this whole thing. I mean, where do you start? What are you most excited about, I guess, is my first question, because obviously it's an exciting time.
Well, there's a lot to dive into here. I mean, whether it's, you know, the fact that it's like, okay, this finally happened. You know, I've talked to a lot of people about it, and, like, some people are may be surprised. Some people are wondering what's next. And I think, you know, it just really was a matter of time. We knew this was coming. And I think it's something, you know, it's an entertainment, it's a market, and there really was no need for it to, you know, actually get denied for this long. I mean, my comparison to this was, if you were to compare it to either alcohol or marijuana, where it seems like marijuana is on its way and marijuana should be legal for, you know, in most states probably sooner rather than later. And, of course, alcohol is legal everywhere. And not that they're the same thing, but I think that, you know, sports gambling is much, much safer of a vice. So it really has been something that, you know, we understand that a lot of times for a significant change to happen, it just takes a while. So now we're here and the floodgates will open. I'm very excited for the thing that I enjoy most about when we go to Vegas is that we're able to go to a sports book and we're able to make our bets and we're able to sit around with people who have, you know, made the same bets as us or sit around with our friends and, you know, watch all these games and make these bets. And I think, you know, that's something that I'm going to really enjoy going forward because, you know, like we said, betting is not something that was taken away from us or, you know, betting is not something that we were prevented to do before this. So we would have still bet regardless. But the fact that this is happening now, it's going to make it more of a social experience. So I think that
absolutely,
there's going to be two parts to that. The first part is that it's going to attract a lot of people to do that, to do like what you do at Vegas and go enjoy it. And, you know, and watch with your friends and all that stuff. On the other hand, though, I do feel like this is something that could potentially wear off a bit, maybe. I'm picturing myself on a Saturday with all these college basketball games on. It's like, okay, let me get all the guys together and let me go to the sports book and watch all the games. And that will happen a lot. But it's going to come to a certain point where it may be more like less of a novelty and it may lead to us being like, all right, I mean, we have like the Monmouth Racetrack app, Joe. Do you want to just come over and watch the games here and not leave the couch? You know, so
I think that'll definitely happen.
Yeah, so ultimately, I think that could happen, but it is going to make it a much more social experience. It's gonna create some jobs. It's gonna help some people, and I think it's gonna hurt. It's gonna hurt Vegas too.
I agree with that a lot. I really do think that this is gonna hurt Vegas. I think more so than people are actually expecting it to hurt Vegas, because you just think of it from a perspective of two guys that go to Vegas every year. I don't know about you, Chris, and actually, I guess I'll ask you this now on the air because we haven't even talked about it yet. Are you any less inclined to go to Vegas for March Madness next year?
I mean, I think so, just because because I could have a much similar experience right in my backyard, essentially. So
I agree with you.
I think so, and it's, you know, I mean, we've had some great years at Vegas, but, you know, it's just kind of it does. You know, make it less of a special thing and make it less of a niche. And it's going to kind of get to that point where the convenience, especially as we get older and as people get older, the convenience may go away a little bit. And, you know, you think about how long Vegas has dominated the sports gambling market. In 20 years, Las Vegas, I mean, Las Vegas will always be Las Vegas, but in 20 years or 50 years or whatever, it could just be like another city, you know? So
I agree with you. I think this is going to be a big problem for Vegas. And it's actually funny because, Chris, you know that I've been looking for places to buy an investment property, and Vegas is being considered right now as one of the best markets to do that. And I purposely did not look in Vegas because I knew this decision was coming. And I think that it's really going to have that big of an impact where – people are just not going to go there in the droves that they do now. And like you said, I mean, Vegas is still going to be Vegas. But does Vegas become less of a novelty? And I think that it would be naive to think no, because when you have so many opportunities to now go to all these different places, obviously right now it's just going to be Jersey and maybe a couple other states, but as the years go on and more states legalize it and more of these sports books and casinos want to start opening up in all these states, who is going to get up and spend all that money to go to Las Vegas when you could go an hour down the Garden State Parkway and go to Atlantic City, which now Atlantic City, because it has a bad connotation and a bad stigma around it right now, Atlantic City in 5 years could be the place to go again. I mean, I don't see any reason why we shouldn't be hopeful that Atlantic City returns to form.
It probably will. I mean, I think it's, you know, and I'm not as big of an AC fan as you are, but like I said, it is just another market for you to open. And it's a huge market, because if you think about all the people that we know who enjoy gambling, enjoy sports gambling, and it's not for everyone. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden every single person is going to be sports gambling just because it's been legalized now. But I think it opens up the door for a lot more people who, you know, did kind of not love the stigma around gambling because it was illegal or whatever. But it really kind of changes the game in terms of entertainment. And if you look over the years in terms of what's kind of been the thing for people to do time after time, year after year, decade after decade, it seems like sports gambling is going to be on the rise. It's going to be up there. And I don't know how long it'll stay up there or how popular it will get, but it's definitely going to become a much more common thing. The other thing there's a lot we can talk. Is there anything else you wanted to like get into in terms of Vegas stuff?
Well, I wanted to get back to a point you made earlier about the fact that the energy around it is going to wear off at a certain point. And I definitely agree with that, but it's probably going to be, it's going to become what to us, what it is to Nevada residents, I would say, where, you're not going to be going down to Atlantic City every week. Maybe this summer, you know, we might be going to Monmouth Park a few times to watch games, or in the fall, we may go to Monmouth Park or Atlantic City a couple Sundays to watch the football games. While that probably will wear off next year or the year after, there's still going to be those times where we get the urge, I think, and people will get the urge to go to the sports books. And I think enough people will have that urge to keep those sports books full.
Exactly. I think so, and I think it's, you know, it as this evolves and as, you know, people start coming up with new ideas and ways to capitalize on this market, you're going to see it become more of an experience. You're going to see
and
different sportsbooks do
more
different
point
things,
I interject
different bars, different things.
About Vegas, and this is, I think, a really important point of why I think that Vegas might struggle, is that Vegas is basically, it has been built over the last however many years, 50 years, 75 years, to compensate for everyone in the United States to do their sports betting. I mean, they needed to accommodate all of the people across the country that wanted to come out there and bet. These sports books now that are going to be opening in all these different states, and let's use New Jersey as an example, there's not going to be anywhere close to as many of them in Jersey as there were in Vegas. In Vegas, you needed to accommodate everyone that's going to come. In Jersey, you're only going to have those 10, 15 sports books. And I think that's going to be where Vegas takes the biggest hit, is that they're not going to have as much of the volume there. So there may be still be those big-name sports books like MGM, Caesars, Westgate that are going to still do well. But I think you're going to see a lot of those smaller books that are going to be start to struggle.
Yeah, and I think another point just quickly to make is there is something to be said about the kind of the distance between Jersey and Vegas and how, like you said, it's such a trip, such a hike for people to get to. And, of course, if you live in, like, California, you're not going to New Jersey to bet on sports. But if you live in the tri-state area, if you live on the East Coast, maybe Atlantic City becomes your Vegas. And I don't know if Atlantic City could actually replicate Vegas exactly how it is, but it's a possibility that it becomes, you know, kind of a mirrored image if that's the way it's going. Because at the end of the day, if you're getting a lot of business and a lot of success out of sports gambling and a lot of people coming and customers, you're gonna keep pushing it and you're gonna keep growing with it.
At the end of the day, when you think about what was the difference between every other city in the country and Las Vegas, or let's say every other state in the country and Nevada, like what drives people to Nevada? And obviously now it's become shows, it's become everything, nightclubs and everything. But what was the first reason? Why did people want to go there in the first place? I think it's the fact that sports gambling was legal there and it wasn't legal anywhere else. You needed to get the volume from somewhere. And that's really, when you think about what's special about Nevada, that's the main thing that's been special, and that's no longer going to be the case.
Exactly. So it's definitely going to be a change, and, you know, like I said, these things take time. These changes take time, and who knows when or how Nevada or Vegas takes the hit that we're talking about, but it is going to happen, and it could be a little drastic at a certain point. Moving on, let's get into how this is going to affect the sports themselves. And there are a lot of ways people
are
talking about it. Now, the first thing I will say is I feel like some people who are probably less educated, I guess, about sports gambling, they think that, oh, okay, well, now the fixing games is definitely going to happen, because if all people are going to gamble on it, you're definitely going to have fixed games. And to that I would say I don't believe so, because I think that there's just going to be more regulation. If anything, there is going to be more things done in different sports to make sure to protect the integrity of the game. They're going to go to greater lengths to actually to make sure that there is no sort of funny business. So I would say it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing in terms of the integrity of the game themselves. Now, just because of that, does that mean that nothing will change? I don't think so. I think you're going to have a couple of little things go on, and how exactly it affects the very long-term future of some of these sports remains to be seen, but there's a couple of ways to look at it. One way, which I was just talking about with my roommates, is if you think about our fandom, Joe, and what we've grown to love about sports. And I know you are a huge Niners fan and a huge Yankees fan, and I'm a huge Knicks fan, and I'm a huge Red Sox fan and a huge Cowboys fan. And we love the sports on their own. I mean, I love the NBA. We both love the MLB, and we both are fans of the NFL. So, you know, we definitely are, you know, what you would call a super fan or an obsessed fan or a huge fan, but there definitely was something that happened when we got into gambling, I feel, where a bit of the game was taken away from us and more of it was, you know, worrying about gambling and what we bet on it and who was going to win based on those aspects of it. And I know there are a lot of people who are more so than us. I would say, for an example, I feel like your brother is a good example where he really is interested in sports for betting. And I think you could see a lot of people maybe go that route where they all of a sudden become a fan of sports or their sports fandom kind of deviates a bit because they're worried about the lines and everything. And they're not actually worried about the games. And I get that. Sometimes it is hard for me to justify watching a random 3-hour sporting event that does not have a team I enjoy, is not a playoff game, or I do not have money on. So that's something that is going to come into play. I don't know if it's really something that's going to hurt or hurt in the short term, but it's interesting to think about because, you know, you kind of are giving people a little bit, you know, it's kind of like if you like ask your parents for like a treat or for like candy or a dessert or whatever, and they give you something. And every time you ask for a little bit more and a little bit more, and then they finally give you a little bit more. Well, now you're kind of used to that norm where you're getting a little more out of it. And I love sports. You know, you and I, we're two of the biggest sports fans in the world, but there are some people who I think either sports fans now or not sports fans who just may go full on, you know, gamble mode with this and maybe lose a bit of the love of the game.
For the leagues, though, that's not really an issue for them because the leagues don't care about why people are watching their games. Although they try to make it sound like they do, they just care that people are watching the game. So I don't really see who that's a problem for. I get your point that definitely is going to happen, but I don't see why that's a problem or who that's a problem for.
Well, I think if you look at it a little deeper, and this is kind of just speculating, obviously nothing is set in stone right now, but if you look at it a little deeper, maybe you can look into other things like, okay, I'm watching games because I bet on them. You know, I'm really kind of focused solely on the end result, and that's kind of what I live and die by throughout the game. Does that lead to people – it eventually could lead to people tuning in more, as you said. It doesn't really – mean it's a bad thing, but does that lead to maybe people getting less infatuated with athletes? Does that mean that people become less fans and more just fans of winning and kind of lose the desire for their favorite team? Does that mean that maybe if somebody jumps into the game let's say you're a Detroit Pistons fan, okay, and you've been a Pistons fan your whole life, and now gambling has taken over, and you all of a sudden you're like, all right, like maybe I start betting on these games a little bit. Maybe I start, you know, betting on what I think is going to happen. Maybe I start focusing a bit on that. And then all of a sudden, let's say next year, the Pistons and the draft lottery is happening right now. The Phoenix Suns just won, so I'm using this as an example. But let's say next year the Pistons win the top pick, and they draft the guy who is the next LeBron James, just for an example. Maybe you're less inclined to love that player. Maybe you're less inclined to buy his jersey. Maybe you're less inclined to stick with certain players and certain teams because what really matters to you at this point is the end result and winning your money. And it's not a bad thing. I think there's going to be a give and take with that. I guess it's just maybe may change the sports landscape. You're going to have a lot of people covering sports gambling more often. It's going to be much more prominent. And, you know, I don't know how much all of this stuff will affect the landscape of sports, but it's definitely a factor there. And I do wonder, you know, if we look into the league when we're old and gray in 50 years and we're close to 80 and we look at the league, it could be just crazy different than what
I think
right
it's going to be completely different. And I mean, there are some things that are going on in sports right now that already are starting to embrace gambling, but it's more so in the media side and it's not really in the actual leagues side. I mean, you got ESPN who they regularly now and not just ESPN, all the sports media channels now regularly will post lines on their website, and they'll post the spreads on the bottom line when they're scrolling through the games. NFL, this is the most prominent, I think, in college football, where, you know, they'll basically just post the line of the game. And, you know, there's, I guess they technically will say that it's for the people living in Nevada, but it's for, I mean, they're not doing that to please their fan base in Nevada. I mean, they're doing it for everyone because they know everyone's already betting. So in terms of the media, you'll have more people covering gambling, but I think it's already started. I think that something that Steve Kerr did last night, which is actually, while it was a joke, is kind of an interesting insight into what's going to happen with the actual players and coaches, because I think it was kind of taboo to address point spreads and gambling in the sports world as a coach or a player. And Steve Kerr, I don't know if you saw it, Chris, in his press conference, jokingly said he's got the Warriors plus 1.5 last night. And while it's a joke and it made everyone laugh and I thought it was funny, it's just interesting that even was brought up, because that's probably the first time you'll ever see a coach reference a point spread before a basketball game.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, because you wonder just how much, and I would assume most coaches are not going to delve into that stuff. I know Steve Kerr may have more of a sense of humor than some other coaches, so it may have just been like a harmless joke that you don't see as much. But at the same time, a lot of people, when asked about the point spreads, and we asked South Dakota's own Craig Smith about it,
yes,
and he gave the answer that pretty much everybody gives, which is like, I have no idea about the point spread. And yeah, maybe that's true for most of the people, but now it's going to be kind of hard to escape that, because it's going to be so much more prominent, you know, in New Jersey, and eventually it's going to spread, I'm sure. And you're going to have, like we've said, this stuff is going to take time. This is only the beginning. There's a lot of regulations that will happen and a lot of other things that will come from all of this, but there's going to be, it's kind of going to be, you know, much more out there. And if you are, I don't think that any players or coaches or anyone involved is actually going to do any sort of like funny business, but it's definitely interesting. At least if you think about, let's say if you're, because the players will want to win the game. Players are trying to win the game. Let's say you're a player who is on a team that's in a blowout game, and it's a 100-100 NBA game, and the clock's winding down at the blowout. It doesn't matter. The over is 201, and you know the spread, and you're dribbling around towards the end, and you're like, oh, do I take the shot?
Right.
And this stuff happens all
the
time.
If you don't have any money on it, or even if you don't have a bribe or anything, I feel like it still could enter into your mind.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, and I don't think, like I said, I don't think there will be funny business to come of it, but it's definitely interesting. And I mean, I you wonder, like, in certain cases like that, like I said, I don't think that there's going to be anything that really happens if a game is on the line. And maybe this kind of stuff we could be overblowing it, we don't know. But if you're, you know, like I said, if you're in a situation where you're the Celtics and you're up five and the spread is -5.5 and you have the ball and you're like, I mean, if I could, if I make a shot here, if I just go in for a meaningless layup, it could just do some things. And, you know, maybe a lot of guys won't do that, but you can't tell me that A, it being on someone's mind is not going to affect things, and B, there's definitely has to be some athletes out there who may want to troll people, you know.
Absolutely.
The other aspect is just having this point spread out there, and it being very open. I know that, like we said, these things are not, you know, these are not secret. This is relatively common knowledge. It's just going to be more prominent now. But if you are, let's say, for example, if you're the Celtics, and they're playing at home tonight, but if you're the Celtics and you're going to Cleveland for game three, and let's say, or, you know, don't even take that out. Let's say it's a regular season game. You're the Boston Celtics. You're going to Cleveland, and Cleveland is like an 8.5-point favorite. You can't tell me that if that stuff enters your mind, which there's a better chance of it happening now that this is legal, you're not going to think, okay, people think that we're going to lose by 8 here, huh? I disagree, and I'm a little fired up now that people think that we're going to lose by 8.
Well,
I'm going to do everything I can.
They might already know. I don't know if they're going to be more.
But maybe not all of them do. Maybe not all of them do it. Maybe more of them will.
Yeah, that's true. I think, I mean, you hear it in, like, the NFL playoffs and stuff, like when the Jaguars were huge underdogs against the Steelers in the playoffs last
year.
Like, there are some references to the point spreads. I think overall, and this has always been the case, that football, for some reason, gambling on football has always been more widely accepted and widely understood than other sports. I feel like when people get into betting other sports, they don't really they don't talk about it as much and they don't understand it as much. Football, for some reason, it's always been embraced more in the football community. Maybe because, I don't know, I really don't know. Maybe there's more football pools, there's less games, there's more focus on each game. I don't know what it is, but I feel like the NFL and college football it's always been embraced more in their community, the betting on the games. I think another interesting point, though, to bring up, and I think this is on more of the teams in the league side, is to go back to your point about maybe people not caring about their own teams anymore, is attendance going to drop? And if attendance does drop, is a way to bring attendance back to start offering opportunities to fans to start betting and watching other games that are going on while the game at their site is going on? And I think this already happens in England, let's say, with soccer games. You're actually able to bet in the stadiums. And this is going to have to be something that I think some teams are going to have to explore. And if one team does it, I feel like everyone else is just going to be forced to have to do it. So I think that's another aspect that we have to think about as well. When does that come into play?
Yeah, and I think that's going to happen eventually everywhere. I think they're going to have to, because like you said, one person does it, everyone's going to have to do it. Another aspect is not just betting on other games, but maybe live betting your own game, maybe live betting the game you're at, and not just what the outcome would be or what the total would be, but also if Steph Curry goes to the free throw line and all of a sudden you've got a little tablet in front of you that pops up and says, these are Steph Curry's odds to make both free throws. Would you like to place a bet? You know, that's another aspect of the game that, you know, could make it more interesting. Once again, you can probably find a book that'll do that for you, but it could be something that, you know, is more appealing to fans. It adds more to the experience. It may take away from some of the experience in some aspects, but I don't see a world where that doesn't eventually happen.
I agree. It's so intriguing to me how this is all going to be handled. And we may sound ancient right now to if someone tuned in and from a different country where, I mean, it's basically legal in all the other big sports countries. And we're kind of the last ones to embrace this. So we kind of probably sound ridiculous to all foreigners, but I just don't know how the American sports industry is going to handle this, because it's been so taboo for so long. I mean, no one wants to talk about it that's involved in the actual sports. Everyone wants to talk about it outside the sport, but no one that's actually involved in the sports has ever wanted to talk about gambling, and it's no longer taboo to do it. Now, it doesn't mean they're going to start doing it, but it's no longer taboo to do it, and you can't help but think that there are going to be those people in the world of sports, the ones that are outspoken, that are not afraid to speak their mind, that are not going to be restricted anymore to not talking about gambling. They're going to come out, and they're going to talk about it, and it's going to be really interesting watching and listening to these people, whoever it may be, that end up coming out and talking about sports. Let's take a call right now, talking about gambling, I should say. Let's take a call right now. Who's calling in here?
Yeah, it's Vince again. What's going on, guys?
Oh, Vince is back.
What's up?
What's up? No, this is a great show. It's probably, honestly, one of your better shows that you've done. Excellent job covering it. I just wanted to kind of chime in terms of how it'll affect the players, right? So my theory of it is this. So I work with a technology company who, you know, we have a lot of big clients, people, you know, all the information is there, right? So, like, we have data on, like, everybody that applies to these companies, stuff like that. And at first, it was like a big thing because you have access to all of this data in the system. And after a while now, I've been working there like 2 years, and now I don't even notice the names that are being shown. I'm seeing social security numbers, all that stuff. It doesn't even register to me that I have access to that. So my comparison to sports betting is I think the first year or so, it will be in the players' minds. And I think that it'll be out there for the sports world, and everyone's going to place extra emphasis on it. But after a year or 2 years down the line, I think it's just going to become one of those things where it's there, but nobody even registers in their mind what these lines are.
Yeah, I could definitely see that where you're, you know, like we touched on a bit, like the allure kind of falls off, and, you know, not that it's not a prominent thing, but it just may just become part of the game. And at a certain point, it's just going to be the way things are.
I agree with that, but at the same time, while the player, while it may wear off for the players, it's never really going to wear off for the fans. And because of that, the leagues are always going to have to address it and deal with it. So from that regard, I think there's always going to be that struggle with how far the leagues dive into it and how far they and how much they try to keep, you know, 1 foot in, 1 foot out, because we know as of right now the leagues don't like it. The NBA says they are okay with it, but they don't like it either. They're only saying they're okay with it because the fans want it and they want to cater to their fans. So what I'm basically saying here is that I think that it's going to be one of those things where the leagues are trying their hardest to stay out of it as much as they could, and it's really going to be the fans that are driving these leagues to address it more and more. So while the players may not care, the fans are always going to care, and that's going to force the leagues to care. So there's always going to be that struggle between the fans and the leagues. Vince, anything else to add?
Yeah, so one more question I wanted to bring up is that fantasy sports has been around for a long time too. And, you know, you get, especially, you know, like you mentioned before, football, it's very prevalent in football. Fantasy, you know, like you're saying, it's emphasized because it's one day, only 16 games. You get a lot of these actual fans are, like, tweeting at players and, you know, they're, like, saying bad shit about them, whatever. Do you think this is different in regards to how the players will be sort of interacted with? It's have an impact on that aspect as well.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be a huge, like you said, with the fantasy aspect of it. I don't know if you're really going to see too many players getting that annoyed with the fact that I tweeted at LeBron because he didn't get over 25 and a half points in a game on a prop. But, you know, I think it's something that will happen like it does with fantasy. And I mean,
and I think it probably already does happen too. You have to consider that. I mean, that's one of those things where the sports
right.
gambling world already exists, and that's already happening.
Yeah,
that's
a lot
true.
Of it is just this being more prominent.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's going to be there may be more people doing it, but the people that are you know the players are already seeing that kind of thing. So I don't know if they're going to interact with fans differently since they've already been dealing with it for so long.
I agree with that. One last thing I wanted to say, too, is that so over time, right, so the same way that, you know, me and you, Joe, bet on a Tigers game not too long ago, and routine fly ball to end the game, ball hits off the guy's head in center field, goes, you know, into left field, few runs score, right?
Chris was on that game, too.
Yeah, we won it.
Okay. Yeah, we ended up winning that. But so I'm saying things like that, right, they even out over time. You guys were touching before on the fact that, you know, let's say a guy knows about the spread and then at the end of the game he takes that extra three and makes it. I think over time, even that stuff, and this was something that you guys kind of brought to the forefront for me, and I didn't even think of this, is that I thought of it after the fact, but over time, I would imagine that kind of stuff evens out too. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I think it's something that, you know, as a lot of this stuff, as people, you know, all three of us love to gamble, we, you know, we're almost, we're almost like, you could say we're patient zero in this aspect, where we've experienced a good amount of the things that happen in the gambling world because we gamble a lot, because we've gone to Vegas a bunch. And so, like we said, a ton is not going to change for us. In that aspect, I agree. I think, you know, maybe the first couple of times that somebody suffers a bad beat, they're going to be overly upset about it. But at the end of the day, it does even itself out. At the end of the day, I think you just kind of become, I guess, numb to it and a little more understandable that things like that happen. And, you know,
and it always,
like,
happens more,
like,
so against you than for you, Chris.
Always.
Definitely does. All right, guys. Thanks so much. Have a great night.
All right. Thanks, Vince. Yeah, I agree with that, though, Chris, that I really do think that and Vince brought it up, and you agreed, and I agree, too. I think that even that stuff's going to even out, because the bottom line is this. I mean, you're never going to – whether that is happening because the players are thinking about it or not, you're never going to know for sure. And that kind of shit already happens now. I mean, you remember that game with the Grizzlies? I think it was last year when I think they gave out, like, free tacos if the Grizzlies went over 100, but also the three that the guy shot from, like, 30 feet away also put the game over the spread, and some people thought the crowd was cheering because they had the over. I mean, that kind of stuff, you'll never know if that guy was doing it intentionally or if he just would have taken that shot anyway. So it's always going to be impossible to tell.
Yeah, and it's, you know, like we said, it's kind of just going to enhance everything. I don't think it's going to be a crazy big change. It's just going to make this gambling that exists. It's going to make it, you know, it's going to kind of inject itself into just about everything it can. And another aspect, going back to what we were talking about with, will this affect players and coaches? Maybe it doesn't necessarily during certain games, but there's a chance that if a player sees some props and you know, wants to, you know, live up to these props. And there's also a chance that, let's say you have that same game where the Cavs and the Celtics play and they win by eight, they don't cover the 8.5. Maybe there is some aspect of coaching, and this could take a very long time, maybe there's some aspect of coaching that uses the spread as a reference point to be dissatisfied with the team's result. You know, coaches are usually
that's a great point.
On their teams. You know, whether they win or lose. And if you're, let's say you're a team that, I mean, just because I remember this example, the Yankee Red Sox game you went to last week, it was, the Yankees were minus 200. They should have won that game easily. And it was a 3-2 game that ended up being, they had to win it in the eighth when Pomeranz is facing Severino. You know, maybe in a scenario like that, Aaron Boone is like, all right, guys, you know, like, that's one we could have won a little more comfortably. And maybe sometimes he says it, maybe sometimes he doesn't, but maybe it's in his head, and maybe it's in his head as he conducts practices in the future and does certain drills and certain things. So these kinds of things, it may be impossible to really measure the aspect and the amount it will actually affect certain people or sports, but it's definitely there, and it's fascinating to us.
Well, I don't know. That's a great point that you make. I don't know if it's necessarily going to be Aaron Boone that's using it, though. I think it could be the other way around. I think it could be Alex Cora that says, listen, we were plus 200 in this game, and we were, you know, it was 2-2 in the eighth. And I think we actually did this a lot in college basketball season, following those small conferences. I remember a great example was George Mason late in the year, consistently getting 8-9 points, and they started to be real competitive and cover a bunch of spreads. And I ended up really liking George Mason at the end of the year, even though they really didn't win that many games early. They ended up really closing strong, and we kind of saw that coming because they were covering so many spreads midway through the year. And I think you're right. I think that now that you're allowed to talk about gambling, if you're Dave Paulson, George Mason's coach, you could bring that up in the locker room. Hey, we were getting 12 points in this game. We lost by 2. You know, we overachieved. Let's keep building on this success. I think that's a great point you bring up.
Yeah, and, you know, like you said, I didn't even totally think of it that way, because if you, like you said, Dave Paulson, he's trying to build a program there, and maybe George Mason doesn't get a lot of recruits and doesn't win a lot of games, but if you can kind of build something there and build confidence in your guys, that's huge. And I think it may go for teams that are, you know, maybe it's college kids, maybe it's teams that aren't very good. Like maybe the Browns like consistently cover next year, like they were unable to do this year, and they get a little progress and a little confidence out of that. And going back to the baseball aspect, when you are in a sport that you play games every single day, 162 games, it's very important to have a short memory. And if you lose a game, yeah, losses always suck, and the more important losses will hurt more than the others. But in that situation where you're the Red Sox, you're like, okay, look, hey, we gave it a hell of an effort out there. Alex Cora is like, guys, no one really thought we had any chance of that game. We battled all the way to the eighth inning, and we only won by one game. Let's go back and get it tomorrow. So, you know, that could ultimately affect certain players, certain teams. A lot of this, you know, like we said, it's stuff that's going to be hard to measure, but it definitely changes things.
I think that we did a good job of kind of addressing all the different angles that this could affect. I think a lot of people are taking it on the surface and saying, oh, well, this is going to make more games rigged, or this is going to make more of the refs cheating and taking money. And I think that's kind of like the amateur angle to take. Like you said, I mean, we probably, because we're more seasoned in the betting world, probably are kind of just we're past that, and we're looking at the deeper side of things here. But I do think that there's a lot to be thought of, not just in terms of whether or not the game is going to be rigged or whether or not people are going to be bribed or people are betting on the games. I think there's more so on the field stuff and in the front office stuff and in the business side of things. There's a lot of things that this new gambling law is going to affect, and we tried to cover as much as we could. And if we didn't cover something that you wanted to talk about, feel free to write us, tweet us, or send us a message on Instagram, and we'll get to it in a later show. Is there any other angle that you wanted to attack? We have a few minutes left here. If you wanted to talk about anything else.
I think I'm pretty good. I think we've talked a lot ad nauseum, but one thing I will say, going off of what you said, this is something that we're going to look at in the future. And, you know, we are a sports gambling podcast. We do cover gambling. There's more aspects of it now that we will cover. And I think a good example would be if you look at sports media and all the things sports media covers, there's actually people – and I know Richard Deitch is a big one for Sports Illustrated, who he himself covers sports media. He doesn't cover sports, he covers sports media. So we're going to do our best to not only hit the gambling aspects of all the sports we cover, but we're also going to talk about stuff that happens along the way. I know that, you know, a lot of stuff is going to take some time to kind of work its way out for this. I think Monmouth Racetrack has said that they're aiming for May 28th to be the first day that they can have sports gambling legally. And it's going to be a saga. There's going to be some twists and turns. And a lot of the stuff we've said right now has been a lot of speculation. So we'll definitely touch on it more as things happen, things come out. And hopefully this helps out the brunch, because the more people betting, the better, because they're going to be looking at the brunch as somebody who covers it and as somebody who, as we've talked about, has the model. And this goes double for the spread, which is the podcast, our sister podcast that Joe hosts, that focuses exclusively on sports gambling. And I'm sure you'll have plenty of to talk about on the spread about this as well.
Yes. So the next spread episode will be tomorrow night for people who want to keep talking betting, and we'll actually get into more games. I am up for the season for the first time in a few weeks. We're up about 2 units year to date. So that is good news. And we could actually build on that. Tonight we have a few more games going, 2-0 already today. So the model is trending definitely trending in the right direction. The Brunch Network is trending in the right direction. And if you want more sports gambling coverage, check out our website, thebrunchnetwork.com. Ryan Gatos this morning published a great article on the impact that sports gambling could potentially have on Atlantic City. So make sure you check that out as well. Like us on Facebook at The Brunch Network, on Instagram. Follow us at The Brunch Network and on Twitter at The Brunch Pod. Subscribe to both of our podcasts on iTunes, The Sports Brunch and the Spread. You will get constant updates with all new episodes that come out. For Chris Malicki, I am Joe Caputo. Thanks for so much for listening to this edition of the Sports Brunch. And ladies and gentlemen, we are just weeks away from having legal betting in the state of New Jersey. We hope you all enjoy it.